Still discussing the subject of escaping Catholicism, escaping Catholicism. The Catholic Church is a monstrosity. It is an evolution of hellish paganism, Judaism, and just about every kind of false teaching about God and Mary that you can even imagine. It is irrational. It is non-intellectual religion. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul writing to Timotheus, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. For kings and for all of those who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What we are trying to do in these messages, Escaping Catholicism, is to show you error and what it is, and to show you truth and what truth is. The Apostle Paul ends this discussion, for there is one God, not a religious idea of God, but there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Catholic Church is not your mediator. The Pope is not your mediator. The priests are not your mediator. Mary is not your mediator. There is only one mediator, one go-between, between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. The testimony born at the proper time. Paul says, and for this reason I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and I am telling you the truth. I am not lying as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. That is quite a commandment. Roman Catholicism has gone astray on every point that Paul made there. Every point that he made. You pray. Don't have the priest pray. You pray for all men. I've had people come and tell me, pray for my dead brother, or my dead sister, or my dead mother, or my dead father. There's nothing I can do about those things. Once you leave this world, there's no way out of hell or heaven. That's it. Our last message was, escaping Catholicism, purgatory is a poor excuse for hell, and yes, it is. For a Catholic, purgatory is some place you have to go after you die. The Bible teaches us that when we die, we go into the presence of God, or in the presence of hell, Hades. And both are permanent places. You're held in Hades until the judgment. Hades is what we call the holding place of all of File 13 or the lost. You go there and you suffer. And it is not a penal colony. It is not some place to reform you. I guarantee you one thing, when an atheist dies, when a Catholic dies, one second after they die, they know they've done wrong. We talk about people that have committed horrible crimes. Russell Bufalone, the Godfather, basically. When he came close to death, he was in prison, and he began to confess all of his sins and all the murders that he had ordered to the priest. And the priest told him, "And you are forgiven." Now, if he had gone to God by and through the mediator, Jesus Christ, he would have been forgiven. Francis Sharon did the same thing. They had a great mass of guilt on their souls because of what they had done. They killed many, many, many men. And they confessed their sins to the priest. The priest said, go your way. God bless you. You are forgiven. No man has the right to say that you are forgiven. Only God. Now the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again, and asked God to forgive you of your sins, and betrayals of Him and rejection, the Bible says that you shall be saved. Now, we have gone through the evolution of Catholicism up till about 600 AD. Now, I've told you there are two twin sisters in history, Catholicism and Islam. Now, during this period of time, we have to realize that they're already praying to Mary. We already have a pope. Now, we already have the idea of purgatory. We have the cross and the sign of the cross, the use of images of the worship, veneration of angels and dead saints, the making of the cross on yourself, 300 AD, prayers for the dead in 300 AD. Now, you can't go back any further than 250 AD or 300 AD, and Catholicism cannot claim ever existing before that. The churches that existed before that were called primitive Christians, and primitive Christians are basically Baptists by confession of faith and practice. Mass was started to be celebrated daily in 394 AD. The exaltation of Mary in 431 AD of the Council of Ephesus, and the Mother of God is applied to her. In 526 AD, we have the last rites, extreme unction, the doctrine of purgatory, 593 AD, prayers to Mary and the dead saints in 600 AD, and in 786 AD, we have the worship of the cross, images, and relics. Now, let's go back to 570 AD. We have Muhammad born in real mysterious circumstances, because if you study archaeology, you'll find out that it was very doubtful that Muhammad was born in Mecca at all. But supposedly, by Islamic tradition, that he was of the family of the Quraysh, which were the caretakers of Mecca and the Kaaba. His father died before he was born. His mother was basically mentally ill and a very ill, sick person. But they were rich. Now, the Quran and Islamic tradition will tell you that his mother was poor. His mother was not poor. According to Islamic tradition, his mother, after she gave birth to him, gave him to Bedouins, herders, Arab herders, a family of them, to take care of him. Now, if you go into history at that period of time, you only could afford a nursemaid or a wet nurse if you were royalty, like the Pharaohs or something, or Abraham, or Isaac, or Rebecca and Rachel. They had wet nurses. Rebecca brought her wet nurse with her when she married Isaac. The Bible talks about her, and wet nurse is someone, she was nursing her, still nursing her according to the Hebrew Scriptures, when she came with her. Wet nurses were hired by rich families. Now, if Muhammad did exist and did the same thing, the things that he said, his mother hired a wet nurse. Now, there's all types of legend in that. If you read the book, The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq, you will read some of these things. That was written within about 100 years of his death. Muhammad was born in these circumstances, so-called in Mecca. Many historical archaeologists believe he was probably born somewhere near Petra or in that area. He talked about ponds and mountains and things that don't exist in Mecca. Supposedly his grandfather started to raise him after his mother died, and then he died, and then his uncle raised him, which made a traitor out of him. And according to Islamic tradition, he went down into Damascus, and there he went to work for a woman called Khadijah, and she wanted to marry him. She was about 20 years older than he was. Unusual circumstances. But if he went down to Damascus, I want to tell you something about Damascus. Damascus was a Christian stronghold. There were many churches down there. Now, there were pagans also, and there were what you might call Christian Arabs. These people, one of the oldest churches that exists, church houses, is in Damascus, Syria. Islam portrays Muhammad as an illiterate being and that he could not have read the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Not very many people had a Bible. They didn't have one running around like this back in those days. They had a few scriptures, but they preached the Word of God. They read the Word of God. And Muhammad heard the Word of God if he was ever in Damascus. They preached the Word of God. He came up with a menagerie and amalgamation of Gnosticism and what we might call mystic religious ideas. He got everything confused, from Noah to Moses. He thought Moses' mother was Mary, the mother of Jesus also. I mean, he was really confused on the Bible. But he quotes the Bible, he quotes Bible stories all the way through the Quran and his hadiths and sunnahs. Now, by 610 A.D., Muhammad had started a religion. Many people believe that he modeled the religion after Catholicism's idea of evangelism. Catholicism's idea of evangelism at that time was conquered by the sword. Now, there were two Christians there, and there were Catholics. And there were Gnostics. Muhammad picked up from all of them what he wanted. Herbert Armstrong was one called, at one time, called his idea of theology was eclectic, that he just gathered all things in and kind of conglomerated it together. A little bit from Jehovah's Witness, a little bit from Seventh-day Adventists, the Millennial Donists, all of that. That's what Muhammad did. He gathered his material from the paganism that had crept into the Catholic Church and the pagan legends. What we might call the apocryphal gospels. That Jesus did miracles from his birth almost, which is not true. You can read all the stories in the Gnostic Gospels about what Muhammad believed about Jesus and what he taught about him. You can go into the Quran and he'll just say, Jesus is not the Son of God. The sky is blue, the grass is green, and Jesus is not the Son of God. Just out of clear blue. He wanted to emphasize that Jesus is not the Son of God. That God has no companion, no son. Muhammad was mixed up on a lot of things, like Catholicism mixed up on a lot of things. But one thing he got right from Catholicism was to conquer by the sword. And make converts by the sword. Now, people that join Islam do not join Islam usually intellectually, unless they're totally deceived and lied to. That's one religion that tells you that they don't believe what they believe and they don't practice what they practice. Did you hear that? They have a publicity machine, a PR, public relations system, that says they don't believe what they believe and they don't practice what they practice. Now, Islam and Catholicism practice the same thing. They killed each other and they make crusades against each other. The Christian crusades were not Christian. The crusades were murderers. The crusaders. The Islamic armies are murderers. That's false religious. False religious systems kill people. Christians don't kill people. Catholics aren't Christians, and Islam is not Christian. We don't believe in the same God, people. The Catholic God has God so far off, just like the Islamic God, he's so far off, and you have to do something to get to him. We just read in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, that God did it all to bring us to himself. And Romans, the 5th chapter, says God is the one that wants to reconcile us to him. He's the one that led out in the reconciliation. According to Catholicism and Islam, you have to go through all types of hooks, crooks, and nooks to get to God. And both of them, you got to go to hell for a while. Or purgatory. Islam was on the rise. The Caliphate and the Roman, Holy Roman Empire were fighting and murdering people. Catholicism murdered between 50 and 100,000 Christians. Islam has murdered over 270 million people. False religion always kills from the very first children born of Adam and Eve. Cain murdered his brother because he did not want to follow what God had prescribed. False religion murders. False religious systems, church and state. Muhammad got his idea of church and state from Catholicism. Catholicism doesn't understand anything but church and state. The early Protestants didn't understand anything but church and state because they came out of Catholicism. There was one group of people, one Catholic priest that came out of Catholicism that was converted by Anabaptist. Whole different story. A different story. Luther was converted by reading Romans. Calvin was converted by reading the what we call the City of God and studying the Bible. And Menno Simons was converted by hearing the preaching of Anabaptists. He didn't start a church-state system. Luther and Calvin both did that because they came out of this system. Now, even the Reformed people look back today and realize that they were wrong back at that time on those points. John MacArthur greatly stresses that, the church and state. They didn't understand it, and they persecuted Christians. The Lutherans made a statement apologizing for killing Christians, Anabaptists, and Mennonites. And Calvin's, some of his descendants apologized for Calvin because he was a child of the times. He did exactly what everybody else did. He persecuted. They killed. Religion was mandated in their territories. The church state is an idea that came from Constantine. Baptism of infants is an idea that came from Constantine and his church state. He wanted every person born within their empire within so many days to be baptized. And there we have godmothers and godfathers because the Bible teaches believers baptism, not infant baptism. And I know all the arguments about why you want to baptize a baby, but it is not valid. All of them are excuses. We see all of this paganism, and that paganism, a church state, goes all the way back to Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. Goes all the way back to Egypt. It goes all the way back to the era of the Chaldees. You worship the emperor. He was an emperor god. You go all the way into Japan. Japan would not surrender unless they had a conditional surrender. They wanted their emperor to still be their emperor. It was a hard thing to convince the American people of that. MacArthur went over there and saw the reconstruction of occupied Japan. They fought their war because of their god leader, their emperor. If you really want to look at it that way, Germany followed their god leader, Hitler. Russia followed their god leader, Stalin. We see all of this. Church-state mistakes in Scripture. I hope that these messages are helping you to understand history, to understand your Bible better. The Bible does not talk of a purgatory. The Bible doesn't talk of sacraments. A sacrament is a vehicle of grace. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are not vehicles of grace. Baptism is what the first thing you can do as a child of God. If you repent of your sins and call upon the Lord, you ought to be baptized. There are so many churches in the world today that preach on the air, and people listen to them and follow them, and they never go to church. and they never had baptism because they're comfortable in their homes listening to the gospel. Now, I have many students in different parts of the world that don't have access to true churches. Gina Tanaka in Japan told me that she was 250 miles from the nearest non-pagan church. People in the Philippines, people in China, all those Christians in China, our number one country outside of the United States is China. And then India. And then the Arab states where people cannot go to church. Yeah. How we are so blessed if you live in a country or a state where you can go and worship God. Where you don't have a state church religion. The idea of protection money came from Muhammad. The idea of the mafioso came from Muhammad. America, in her early infant stages, under the earliest presidents, the biggest budget they had was paying jizya, where they went around the Horn in Africa because they had Islamic pirates and they had to pay money to keep from being attacked. Sounds just like mafia to me, like Godfather, the caliphate. We see all of this in history. I taught Western civilization and political science. You can't teach one without the other, really. And what I've been telling you tonight is a history of political science. Church and state relationship and the evils of it. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. I pray, Father, that you use it mightily to convert people, to let them understand where, how they're living and where they live and how they got where they are. Father, I pray for the Catholics that might listen to this, that you will convince them from your word and bring them close to you through our Savior, Jesus Christ, that they don't have to go through a priest nor any sacrament to work with the way to heaven, but salvation is instantaneously. For whosoever shall be called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your reconciliation to want to save us.